I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Everyone has that one friend who thinks they can come up with memes. And in Lee's and my life, that's Scott.
No, I don't come up with them. I copy them.
Oh, that's better.
And then whack a Hit Network logo on them.
Oh my God, Scott.
Is that allowed?
You've got a credit.
Contentious. It's pretty contentious about what IP actually is.
But do you share it? Do you share it? Do you tag back?
No.
Do you credit?
No.
People get so aggro if you don't tag back.
I know. But you know what's really interesting? The one time I've been kind of caught in a battle where someone's like, you stole that from me, I hadn't actually seen that they'd posted it. And then when we backtraced it, they'd done the exact same thing to someone else. But people get really like that. Like, I've seen a few arguments now where people are like, you stole that from me. Well, actually, you took it from there first, but you still stole it from me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. What a downer to start the podcast.
I know. I feel really... Should we just go to the best
part of the show? And the thing is,
the show
is so full of joy today. Let's give that to the people very quickly.
Here it is.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Yesterday, my husband Wills was home from work and so was I. And with both kids at school, we sat down in front of the telly. And it was the Super Bowl that was on.
Now, is that a euphemism?
Sorry.
Sometimes I just feel like a naughty schoolgirl in this room. I'm just trying to crack a joke.
And then awkward silence. Crickets.
Okay,
watching the Super Bowl because he's, you know, right into his sport. And the game confuses me, I'm going to be honest. I don't really know what's going on. But I did know that Tom Brady was playing. And if you're unfamiliar with Tom Brady, he's like, I don't know, America's golden child in gridiron.
It's his sixth Super Bowl that he's won.
And his team, the Patriots, won yesterday, which meant he won his sixth Super Bowl. Okay, and this is what he had to say after the match.
I can't wait to just spend some time with my family and my kids and my wife, and just I couldn't do it without their support.
I mean, you heard the man say there. I mean, he's lovely. He adores his family. And if you didn't know, Tom Brady is married to supermodel Gisele Bündchen, the Gisele who walked the runways for every designer in the universe.
I mean, he's a fine-looking fellow. She's an amazing-looking
lady. She's a Victoria's Secret, former Victoria's Secret model.
Say no more.
Now, I feel...
No, I said say no more.
I feel you heard the man say that he couldn't do it without his family. Yeah. And I feel that I have a big part to play in his family, his wife, still being here.
All right, I'll bite. How so, please? How so?
Okay, when I used to live in New York.
As a?
Well, back in the day,
she was a model.
Thank you.
I just found a photo of you serving water at the tennis
Shut
in New
up,
York.
Scotty. That was prior. I was at a party one night and Gisele was there. Okay. We mixed in those circles, you see.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, she's only a whippet of a thing. Very slight girl.
Which is huge. I mean, not literally huge, but you're only slight. So if you're saying that Gisele is... Even tinier.
She was tiny. And, you know, she had a few drinks. And it doesn't take much for a woman of her size to be a little bit inebriated. Mm. And she probably hadn't eaten since 1990 as
well.
Got
the wobbly boots on. She was chasing snakes, wasn't she?
She was well and truly unwell walking through that crowd. And I helped her, Sarah. She was unwell. She was falling over drunk. You know, we've all been there. And I helped her. I saved her. I carried her upon my shoulders like, you know, she was leaning on me for support. Henceforth, had I not been there at the party, who knows what would have happened to Gisele.
So
I kept her alive and well until she met her husband, Tom Brady. And without Gisele's support, Tom would not be where he is today, winning his sixth Super Bowl. Henceforth, thus, I helped Tom win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Thank you.
Talk about six degrees of separation.
You are welcome, Patriots.
This should go viral. If Giselle doesn't issue you a public thank you.
Well, last night on Married at First Sight, Lizzie and Sam were married. Now, they are as well suited as... Help me out here.
Oh, cats and dogs. Like, it's not... They're not a long-term
Blind
prospect.
Freddy can say... That
the experts have had absolutely no clue in pairing them up.
It's a horrific match. Mm-hmm. But alas, the wedding went ahead. Mm-hmm. That was fine. Everyone put on a happy face. What happened the next day when they were meant to depart on the honeymoon is what I want to talk about. Take a listen to what happened with Sam and Lizzie.
So my ex-partner's mum's passed away. I've got a lot of history with my ex and we're very close. And yeah, so she wants me to go to the funeral.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Of course you've got to go to the funeral.
Okay, so Sam drops the bombshell that his ex's mother sadly passed away and that he will be attending the funeral, thus
and the funeral
up the honeymoon.
Was in New Zealand.
Right.
So he had to go overseas. The honeymoon, nada. It's
That's
off the
right.
table.
Lizzie misses out on a tropical honeymoon. Now, the question that I want to pose here, Sarah, is... Can one still be friends with one's ex?
I think it's nice in theory, and maybe for a little while you can, but then there comes a point where, I don't know, I just think it's muddy water, it's messy, and
because Sam is obviously still very much in contact with his ex.
I mean, I think he did the right thing by going to his ex's mother's funeral. No issue with that whatsoever. That's a nice...
It's
important
one of those,
thing to do, but how close? He does say he's very close with his ex.
It's one of those age-old questions. So 13, 10, 60, we want you to chime in here. You know, prove us wrong. Do you think you can still be friends with your ex? Are you still friend with your ex or is it a no-go zone?
Yeah, see, I don't have any long-term exes prior to my husband Will's that I would... So I'm not really an expert here to say, yes, you can definitely have a really important... other person in your past, in your life. Mm. Lise, what about you?
I'm going to tell you later.
Don't expend too much energy in this hour of power.
Well, okay, I'll just say that I led most of my 20s thinking, yes, you can be friends with your ex. We're all adults here. They're important people in your life. Don't be silly. Don't write them off. But then something happened. And I thought, no one can be friends with their ex at all.
What a
you hook. Draw the line.
Wow.
Yes.
When someone creates a MySpace page about you, Scotty, you know you've got to cut them off. Okay? I just have that effect. And it's not my fault. But I knew it was too much.
What the heck?
13, 10, 60, can you be friends with an ex? Shout out to my ex! Yes, this is because on Married at First Sight last night, Sam... said to his new bride, Lizzie, 24 hours after they were married, the day they were meant to depart on their honeymoon, he said, Sozzles, can't do it. My ex's mother has passed away and I have to go to her funeral in New Zealand.
Very sad
so
circumstances.
That's all well and good, but it got Lizzie and I talking. Can you be friends with an ex and how close should you be with an ex?
Yeah. Christy, 13, 10, 60, where do you sit on this issue? Can you be friends with an ex?
It's not actually me that's friends with my ex, but my husband is actually was best friends with his ex.
Okay.
When we first got together, they, you know, got out of a relationship probably that... a year before I'd sort of come along, and he's like, oh, look, just letting you know, I'm still best friends with my ex. I'm like, oh, that's fine, you know, as long as there's trust in a relationship, you know, that's all really. And, we were, you know, I befriended her. She was my best friend as well. And then I popped the question to my hubby now, and she vanished off into thin air.
She vanished.
Wait. What?
There was trust. That was it.
You popped the... What did you say?
I popped the question. I asked him to marry me and
Christy
she...
proposed.
Yeah.
Sorry, just as the only male in the room right now, Christy, is the general consensus that she was hanging around hoping you'd disappear?
I'm thinking so,
yeah,
honestly.
That like, just sounds like keeping options open, right?
Yeah, well, she had two kids to another marriage and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, those kids thought the world of him and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm going to assume she wanted to get back with him. I mean, he's an amazing bloke. So
you sound lovely. Glad he ended up with you, Christy. I'm really glad. You sound divine. Mary.
We're here to boost your life choices.
Christy can call anytime. Yeah. She's great.
Mary on 131060, can you be friends with an ex?
Yeah, well, married for about 21 years and my ex-father-in-law passed away about 8 months ago and I did attend to his funeral and we're still kind of all mates for the kids.
Oh, that's good on you. Yeah. Well, I think if you're in someone's life for that long and then their parent passes, I think it's a show of respect. So I understand attending the funeral. But were you guys friends outside of that, Mary, other than attending your former father-in-law's funeral? Were you friends, like, on a week-to-week basis?
Well, we're talking probably a few times through the week over the phone for the youngest child who's 17. You know, he's got a partner now. I'm married, so it's all still pretty good. Our divorce cost us $500. That's about it.
Wow.
Right. So you know what? It sounds like it's all in the breakup. So that sounds like it was quite civilized. You were grown up about it.
Yes.
And you can put your emotions aside, right?
Yes.
Well, like you said, someone in your life for 21 years, you grow up together, it's like you just can't turn it back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this sounds like you're right, Sarah, this is like an adult breakup, although some of them get nasty too. Rebecca, 131060, can you be friends with your ex?
I am actually best friends with my ex.
Okay. Talk us through how that looks and feels.
So we dated maybe, I think we first started dating 8 years ago. We broke up once and then we got back together. But I actually moved to Sydney and she moved closer to Goulburn as well. Mm-hmm. So we still talk like every day. I actually introduced her to her current girlfriend.
Oh, wow. That's very close.
That's next level.
That's very close, Beck. Is it all in the breakup? Did you have it? It sounds like you had a pretty civilized experience too, like Mary?
Yeah, we were just dating and it sort of was forming more into a friendship than anything. And so we sort of figured instead of, you know, this relationship isn't working out, it's this friendship is.
Was it mutual? A mutual decision?
Yeah, it was very mutual.
Look at all these grown-up people out there, Lise, and here are you and I saying, nope, you can't do it. We've been proven wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing. The question that I didn't ask Rebecca is, was there a MySpace page involved? Because I feel that's the tipping point. And I know from experience.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Lise and I each have two children and our youngest kids are only born 2 days apart, which means we've timed things beautifully because this year they've both started prep.
That's right. So you know what? It's time for prep catch up.
Timing didn't quite work there, but look, I like where we're going with this. So, so my daughter, who's 5, is, I mean, how do I say this? I just want her to look at me at school. She has waltzed into that joint, like Miss Independent. As soon as we get there, she's off playing and I feel myself loitering like a creep in the classroom, just waiting for her to acknowledge me. So there are other kids around there who are having kind of emotional breakdowns and mine's just sitting there with her puzzles. And I go, darling, do you want me to stay? And she's like, no, go. And then that's it. I feel both proud and slightly hurt at the same time. And then yesterday I picked her up from school and she's sitting in the back seat gazing out the window. And I said, what did you do at school today? And she looked out and she said, just the usual. Mm. I was like, mate, you've been at school for 2 days and one of them was a half day.
Yeah.
What is the usual? And she gave me nothing. Absolutely nothing. She's going to be one of those
consider yourself
kids.
Bloody lucky.
How's your boy going, Lise?
Not well. Not well. And I feel that this is the difference between boys and girls. I mean, we're at the point where he's basically an emotionally crippled marsupial. He will not let go of me. He is attached to me like Velcro come that separation moment where the parents have to leave. I mean, he said to me yesterday when I picked him up, I said, how was today? And I think he's fine during the day.
Yeah, they always are.
He's fine once I leave. But he said, Mum, I'm tired of this prep costume. That's what he said.
Does he mean his uniform?
He means his uniform. Yeah. Prep costume. He said, I'm tired of it already. I said, you've got another 13 years to go. Yesterday, I will also tell you, I cried on my way back to my car. That's how bad it was.
But true.
I know I cried. Mean, I know. It's hard to believe. But
he's just going to school.
I'm not crying because of that. I'm fine for him to go to school. I know. It's just
Are you
that.
Crying for you?
No. No. I'm crying because he was crying so much, Sarah. You don't understand how bad it was.
Oh. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Not only that, but another negative is that my eldest son, who's in year four, Remy is 9. He said, Mum, it's too much with Maxie being at school now. And I said, well, what's your problem now? Like, I've got two of you with issues. And he said, well, it's just that Maxie's invading my life. Everywhere I turn, I see his beady little eyes staring at me in the playground.
My girls had to get separated from a teacher because my eldest kept going to check on her to see how she was going. It is girls and boys.
You know,
I said to
Remy, I said, can you please walk him up to the undercover area when the bell goes? Just do it. And he said, I'm sorry, Mum, I can't do that. He said, Mr. McNeely doesn't want us. They don't want us going to the undercover area. That's only for preps. I said, but you are an eldest brother. You have to help him. I'm sorry, Mum, I can't.
Well, there you go. He's following the rules. Don't make him break the rules.
I am making him break
the
rules.
Will you be able to drop him off without crying today?
No, Dane's doing drop-off. I can't handle it.
Oh, good
Those
grief.
Two girls. Lisa's mic isn't working. I'm just restarting it now.
Well,
it's just Sarah's show today.
Hello, Tuesday. It's sounding good. Now, while Lisa's mic's getting sorted out, can I please run by you Elle McPherson's 6 golden rules for a perfect 7 hours of sleep, okay? Sure. So she's revealed it yesterday and it's being spouted in media left, right and centre. So number one, get fresh air every single day. Number two, use a sauna and steam for increased flexibility, reduced pain and stress. She eats dinner by 6 o'clock every day. 1 hour before bed, she brews a pot of calming tea and drinks it.
Mm-hmm.
Then she spritzes her pillows with a calming lavender mist.
What does and spritz mean?
Spritz is the greatest word in the English language.
And if she still can't sleep, she lies with her legs up against a wall for 5 minutes and stretches her arm out for an instant meditative effect.
I mean,
Lise. This is being touted as an intensive bedtime routine, and I say pish posh to that because you, the lady sitting beside me to my right, your bedtime routine far outweighs supermodel Elle McPherson.
I mean, Sarah, supermodels have to stick together, and you know we adapt a similar regimen because that's just who we are as people. So yeah,
annoying.
I have similar points, if not more. Okay, my rules are no caffeine after midday. That's pretty standard. We're in bed at 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting that in my body.
Yes, we are, like toddlers.
No sugar after 3:30 p.m. That also goes for wine because wine converts to sugar, doesn't
right.
it?
Right, yes, sure.
A heat pack. I put that in the microwave. It's like a warm hug because no one's in bed with me at 7:30 p.m. So I need my heat pack.
Even in the heat of summer, you have a heat pack?
Well, I have the aircon on.
That doesn't make sense. Okay. Energy expenditure is going to be a whole different one. Continue.
I know.
You put the aircon on so you can have a heat pack and feel like you're being held?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have some kind of issues? Continue. Next.
Essential oil on my pulse points if it's been a rough day.
Okay.
And if I feel like the sleep won't come to me. Earplugs are a must. I have not slept without foam earplugs for a solid 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Noise-canceling headphones on top of said earplugs.
Okay. So you want to be held by your husband but not hear
I don't
him in any
know
way,
he's
shape,
there.
Or form.
Yeah. Eye mask. Again, I don't want to see him. Socks on my feet because I don't want him to touch me. And until he comes into the bedroom, I make sure that the television out in the lounge room is turned down to a volume 17. That is the number. If I see him creep it up to an 18, I'm putting two pairs of socks on.
See, I knew it. Elle McPherson's got nothing on you,
Lise. In fact, I taught her everything she knows.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
If we hear you start exhaling loudly, we know we have to move it along.
Well, that was the show.
That's it.
What are we going to eat today?
There you go. There's a supermodel in our midst.
Are we walking?
Tell people what you did.
What did I do?
I mean, look, I feel like I'm sick of having to spruik you, Lise.
I don't need spruiking.
This is all for future gains, so that when David Jones come and say we need an elderly model, then you are top of mind to take over from Deborah Hutton.
Sarah, I'm only 38.
That's right. But in modelling terms, that is ancient.
But I'm not modelling. But I'm saying.
I'm opening our chances because who knows how this radio gig's going to go and you might need to support both of us.
Are you pimping me out? Yes. Is this basically what that is?
But you tell people what you did.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Because Scotty just touched on something about Evian water. That's nothing. That was a mere primer work. Please.
Sarah, this is old
all
bloody
I'm say
news.
Is I Calvin Klein. House model for their knickers.
Did you ever meet Calvin?
Yes.
Did you meet Travis Fimmel?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you watch Vikings and just say to Dane?
That could have been.
Tell me about when you met Travis Fimmel.
Well, I mean, look,
were you both in your undies?
No.
Was he a house model too?
No.
A house model means your proportions are so great that they base the world's sizes off your ass.
Actually, that is the best explanation of it.
Yep.
It just means it's not that your measurements are the greatest. It just means that it was very invasive, Sarah.
Was it?
Oh my God. You had to have real buzzies.
Yes.
They did not.
Old people say for boobs. She's an elderly model.
Certain brands did not, because to fit the garments correctly, I don't know, they had these standards. You couldn't have the fake buzzies.
Yes.
The boys are so uncomfortable.
Also known as
I'm not uncomfortable. I'm just intrigued at buzzies.
Also known as mammaries.
I can just see when Lisa's sons are old enough and they're like, oh, Mum, I think I'm going to ask this girl out. Lisa, like, do they have nice buzzies?
Yeah.
No, it was very invasive because you couldn't have gained, like if you were locked into being the size 8 or the size whatever, that you couldn't budge from that. Otherwise, all the undies in the world would be wrong. I had
Sometimes I'll put on a pair of size 10 Dacs and they're too small. Is it because my house model for that brand lost weight?
Possibly. She had gastro.
What a cow. So it's not possibly me. It's the house model losing
weight. Great power comes great responsibility. And when you are the fit model for size 8 Calvin Klein, well, I tell you, you're not putting a stray cracker in your gob, are you?
No.
No, no siree.
No. Mm-mm. And you were the house model for Colette Dinigan, weren't you?
Yes, back in the day.
And house models it was a steady job. So you got paid decent money to go in every week and get fitted.
What kind of cash were we talking about?
Oh, it was good money.
Oh, come on. It was that long ago. It's probably in shillings and pence. You can say what it was.
Lisa's like, dating the guy who walked around New York and turned the gas lanterns on.
Shut up, you guys. Well, you laugh and you laugh, but then you want all the bloody details.
Hello, I'm showing you in such a good light.
It was,
for Calvin
Klein during those big weeks, fortnights even, it was about $1,500 a day.
Oh, my gosh.
And you would work how many days?
14 straight.
Okay, so you're
That's why she bought a unit when she was 21.
Well, you're very savvy and very frugal. Were you in those days?
Yes, because I was like, because I didn't have a life, which is perfect. So I was just there to work. So I would fly. Like, I remember once I was in Australia. I was coming back to visit the fam. And then I got the call that I was back in for fit for that, for those show, they're called showings. That's when all the department stores of the world come and you have to parade in front of them and they go, we'll take that one, that one, that one. Not the girls, the undies. and I got the call that I was back in for Calvin Klein. So I flew back because you don't miss out on that. 14 days of straight work.
But did you use that time to financially set yourself
yes.
up, or do you look back on it and go, gee, I wasted a lot of
no, money? No, I didn't waste a lot of money. Well done. I put aside money.
Very smart.
Mm. Very and then I met Dane and plonked it all on his mortgage.
Is that a euphemism or? What a mortgage he had. I mean, he didn't own any property, but oh my gosh, what a mortgage.
Scott, that is
but what a mortgage.
It was interesting. It was. It was actually difficult work, guys.
You know what?
It was very boring, which is difficult. Mm. There's a lot of shut up and wait.
Yeah.
And you're in a tiny, literally a closet. This studio that we're in is gigantic compared to the closet I lived in. 14 days straight.
Was she Harry Potter?
There was no vent. There was no ventilation. Very little.
You don't need to breathe.
No, well, we didn't. And we didn't need to eat. We didn't. It was like,
yeah,
you're just sitting around in your undies waiting to be called out. And then, and not only that, do you know how many sets of Calvin Klein underwear I had to change in per day?
How many?
Up to 150 in and out, in and out.
Wow, that is a lot.
It's hard.
What if
Very difficult.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, Sarah.
I'm going to lower the tone, but it's a question I want to know the answer to. What if something was particularly funny while you're modeling the undies and you just weed a little bit?
Oh, Scott, well, it's Scott, such a boy was, bloody question.
I know, because she was young then and she hadn't had children, so her pelvic floor wasn't compromised.
And remember, I was severely dehydrated to keep my BMI right down. Right down. You know, you're not eating, you're not drinking. It's yeah. like, it's like a boxer. It's like.
Did you feel perpetually unwell?
Probably.
But no, you were so pragmatic about that. We've spoken about
it's
that
just
previously.
Word. That's where it just was what like, you had to do.
If this is the money
it's
I'm
not healthy,
getting,
I'm not saying.
Then for 14 days, I can
just be at
I
my,
can do this.
At my, yeah. I was eating, just not much.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, you never
I never had an eating. No. It was just like an athlete for work.
Mm.
You okay. just go, right, I'm just going to be right down to like steamed bok choy.
My final question comes following you saying that Lees could replace Deborah Hutton.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I have a question.
I love Deborah Hutton.
If can I say? Foxtel approached you and said, we need a new host for location, would you give them a solid yes?
Well, she's got a big mortgage that she can talk about.
Meanwhile, Sarah's looking for new houses.
No, I just dream of seeing Lees in a Miller's catalogue. And that's
Sarah!
Why I want to keep her options open. That's all.
Do you remember?
I mean, come on, I show you in such a good light. You always act so aggro, but she loves it deep down.
I don't want to be in a Miller's catalogue. Oh,
interestingly, a checkout ticket Miller's would be a good option if radio fails. Like they seem like they're a fun
place to
work.
They've got some quite
work.
Nice styles, actually.
Sarah, of pedal pushers.
All right, that's our off today's podcast.
You know, that's been probably the best podcast.
That's a little insight.
Done. And if you liked it, write it somewhere.
If you've got a whiteboard
in the share, no,
in
you
the
know what we have to
comments.
Ask people to do to share reviews. The podcast.
Podcast reviews as well.
Share
want,
it with a friend.
Yeah, we want reviews. In fact, maybe we should put it up on Instagram. Maybe what? We should do something.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You should encourage people to listen on Spotify.
What is there a podcast on Spotify now?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
I've only just discovered Spotify.
I know,
and the Jane Austen soundtrack.
So confused. I got tagged on a friend who has a podcast on Spotify. And I was like, no, that's just for listening to music.
I'm so confused. All right, we'll deep dive into this tomorrow morning.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.